On the Holy Spirit. It actually started out about, I think I originally titled it, What Does the Holy Spirit Do in Your Life? Or something like that was the original title of the series, but it has changed to a little more of just understanding the Holy Spirit, because we've gotten in deeper and deeper, and we've still got a ways to go, but next Sunday is the Resurrection Sunday, so we'll probably do something a little different on that one, but we might jump back into this after that, if see what the Lord wants to do on that. Next Sunday, though, is Easter. Resurrection Sunday. I love that day. It's a great day of the year, just to recall and remember what Christ has done for us. And part of that, we will take communion, what some people call the Lord's Supper or communion. We'll partake of that next Sunday as well. So got that to look forward to along with the food afterwards, right? But let's jump in and see what God has. Father, we're praising you this morning. We give you the glory for this day, Lord. You have made a beautiful day. Father, we're rejoicing, we're praising and exalting you, we're thanking you for what you've started in our life, for that work that you began. And Father, that those that are still seeking, that are still trying to understand a little bit more about you, or to understand if you're real or wherever they're at in their walk, I pray for that to even happen today, Lord. I pray for those moments with you where you're continually speaking, trying to get their attention, that Father, today will be that day when they openly receive from you of what you have done. You sent Jesus to live, to die, to be that perfect sacrifice for us. And today, Father, we pray that is a day that people understand that revelation knowledge takes place, that people receive of that work that you did and completed on the cross, that they can live now in the grace and the rest and the truth of what you have provided for us, Lord. We're praising you for it. Help us with this revelation gifts, Father, as we go through these, that we will understand more than ever at any point in our walk with you, that we will grow, that we will flourish in our walk, and help us to see clearly and to hear when the Spirit is speaking to us, and to allow you to do what you want to do in and through our life, Lord. We're praising you for it. In Jesus' name we say, amen. Amen. So this one, as we get to it, I thought, well, I'll call it the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but we're really not going to get to all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. There is, I don't know if anybody's into Christianese, I speak it a lot. And when I talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, I am referring to certain gifts. There are 9 of them listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that are often referred to as the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We're going to go through about 3 or 4 of those today, just kind of give you an idea. They are, if you really study them out, and this is probably getting too far into it, but I call them the revelation gifts, because there are 4 of them, 3 or 4, that are what I call revelation gifts. They are things that reveal something. Okay, and so we're going to look at those. There are some that are more of audible gifts that the Holy Spirit is going to speak through people and do things for the body of Christ. And there are other ones that are more of faith and healing and working of miracles, some of those things that are more visible. You can see those things happening. So today we're going to get the revelation gifts of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so over the last few weeks we've been learning about what the Holy Spirit does. Okay, things, ways that He's active in our life. Okay, we've been looking into some of the ways that He speaks to you. What does it sound like? Does it sound like a tinkling cymbal we have coming from the next room? Does it sound, you know, is it more of a prompting, or what is it that you receive? And we've been looking at some of those ways so that when you receive an unction from the Holy One, as the Bible says it, when you receive that prompting, it doesn't, I don't want it to catch you off guard, at least not as much. Sometimes it's like, whoa, what just happened? But I want you to recognize that and be able to see that the Holy Spirit is up to something, and I'm just getting on board. It's like this bus going by, I saw it, I jumped on, and now I'm just going where that bus is taking me. Okay? Well, the Holy Spirit will do that, and so as we learn more about how He speaks to us, we begin to sense those promptings, we follow them, then it is more of a building upon our faith. Okay, our confidence in Him continues to grow, because now we're recognizing more and more of what's actually happening. So now when the bus is going by, it's just really easy to step on. We're not like, oh, is this the bus? Is this the bus? Now we know the prompting of the Holy Spirit is like, hey, buddy, jump on. And we're just jumping in the bus and going with the Holy Spirit. Okay, so let's look at a little bit deeper today of what the Holy Spirit, how He's speaking to and through us. Okay, He is always at work in your life. Okay, the Holy Spirit is constantly, continuously speaking to you. And He's working, He's intervening on your behalf. The Bible says that He intercedes with us, with God, in regard to our weak areas. Okay, our goal then is to move quickly, okay, to move surely, confidently upon His promptings. Okay, so that we can accomplish the things that God wants to do in our life in the most efficient way, in the most effective way possible. Because God has a plan. He has a way that He'd like for things to work out. And my thought on that is, why do things the hard way if God has most assuredly provided an easier way? Right? Why we learn things the hard way all the time. I do. Okay? But there's so much that we could learn the easier way, the way that God has provided. Okay? And you will, without a doubt, listening, sensing the Holy Spirit, you're going to accomplish more in less time, okay, by doing things His way. Okay? Because God has a plan. You can resist it. You can fight it. You can rebel against it. You'll get somewhere. Okay? But when you go with God, life gets better. It gets easier. It gets more real. Okay? It seems to make more sense. Okay? Now, God is, in His Holy Spirit that He's given to us, is not a, it's not a shortcut, okay, to learning things. Okay, you'll still have to go through some stuff to learn some things. But the Holy Spirit never loses focus on what God wants to accomplish. Okay, the Holy Spirit is always in tune with God, so when we're sensing His promptings, we begin to do things simpler, easier, okay, quicker, because we know that there is something that God has in store. God has a goal and a plan, and Holy Spirit knows exactly what that is, so we tune into Him so that we can stay on track. You know, several years ago, I worked with a guy on a job, and the guy really made a lasting impression on me. It's been almost 20 years ago now, probably. The guy had been diagnosed with a form of autism. They called it Asperger syndrome. You might have heard of that. Okay, and he was very, very high functioning. Okay, to just look at the guy, you would have thought he was just kind of the average Joe. Okay, but when you started to converse with him, you realized that there's something pretty different about this person. Okay, there was something unique about him. He had retired from serving in the military. He was in the Navy, I think Naval Intelligence, if I remember right. He was very, very smart, smart guy. And the company that I worked for hired him for what he was exceptionally good at, which in his own words was cutting the fat out of an organization. In other words, things that, you know, were in the budget, or things that, you know, were part of the processes, you know, of getting things done, things that were, you know, in the training program on how to train new people, things that were not getting things done as efficiently and effectively as possible. His mind, the way it worked, he could see that stuff and say, no, we need to cut this, we need to get this out of here, and we need to add this right here. And his brain thought that way. He was like a, you know, you guys think of like Rain Man or Monk. Anybody hear those guys? I mean, you know, to have a conversation, you're going to think there's something strange, but in reality, they're like genius kind of mentality, right? There's something very special about them. Okay, well, this guy, most of the people in the organization just try to avoid him, okay? He kind of made you feel a little awkward at times. I mean, somebody that smart, okay, without a filter to refrain from saying it. So let's say he saw something in your life that the way you tied your shoes took you 3 minutes, and he knows a way to tie it in one. He was not afraid to tell you that. You know what I mean? It just came out, okay? He didn't have that filter, and he admitted to that over and over again. I'm sorry, I just don't have that filter. I can't always tell if something is offensive or whatever. So, hey, why do you tie your shoes like that? Because if you did it this way and this way, it would take you less time and you'd be on your way. You could have already been halfway across the room. And that was just the way that he thought. So some of the people, that made him feel a little uncomfortable to be around him, so they just avoided him. Okay, other people got to that uncomfortable point that they were conspiring against him to get rid of him. Okay, because they just didn't like that guy around. Okay, he was making them a little uncomfortable. Okay, well, I bonded with this guy right off the bat because I saw an intrinsic value in a brain that thinks like that, in a guy like this, And I thought, you know what? If I've got things in my life, that's just the way I live. If I've got things in my life that are holding me back, that are taking longer than they need to, they're not allowing me to be as successful and accomplish as much as, you know, I at this time I was a Christian. I was like, if I'm not accomplishing as much as what God would want me to accomplish, I would like to know that. So I spent time with the guy and I hung out with him and I found him to be very, genius, okay, in the way that he could figure things out. Okay, I got to know him and his wife over time. We'd go out to eat. I'd go over to their house and spend time with them. I was a single guy at the time, and I found them to be a huge addition to my life, okay, something of great value. But as valuable as that guy was at figuring things out, the Holy Spirit is not even in comparison to that when it comes to what the Holy Spirit can reveal to you about your walk with God. Okay, now I asked that guy specifically questions about my life, saying, hey, here's where I'm at, here's where I'm wanting to go, you know, and I'm picking his brain and he's giving me tips and advice and whatever. But at the same time, I learned that the Holy Spirit was much more efficient and effective when I listened to his promptings. I could get there in a shorter amount of time or in a better fashion. Okay, I knew that the Holy Spirit is capable of doing tremendous things in your life. The Holy Spirit in your life should be your closest acquaintance. Okay? And I say it that way because Jesus should be your best friend, right? Okay? But I say the Holy Spirit should be your closest acquaintance. He should be constantly in communication with you and you with him. Okay? Because the Holy Spirit knows things. Okay? The Holy Spirit knows things. He knows God. Okay? And he knows the best way for things to be done because he knows God's way, okay, perfectly. He has no, like, I wonder if God's thinking this. He doesn't do that. He knows what it is, okay? Last week, I shared a little bit about how the Holy Spirit speaks to you through some avenues like dreams and visions, okay? And then we touched briefly on how he does it through prophecy. Okay, how he speaks a prophetic word to you or through you. So this week I want to give you a little bit more to chew on regarding prophecy. Okay, and then I want to go into the deeper value of the Holy Spirit and what he brings into your life through revelation gifts. Okay, the word of wisdom, okay, the word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits. Okay, they are gifts of the Holy Spirit that I've coined, or other pastors have coined, the revelation gifts. They reveal things. So first, let's start with prophecy. Okay, prophecy, or through prophecy, or through what many people would call a word of prophecy. Somebody speaks to you something that is very prophetic, a divine utterance. God can and will speak to you and through you something that'll do at least one of three things. It will edify, okay, it will exhort, and or it will comfort, okay, and I'll explain these just a little bit. Okay, a word of prophecy is going to edify, exhort, or comfort you or someone else within the body of Christ. It was a gift given by God to help the body, to build each other up, to strengthen one another. To edify is to literally do that. It is to build up, right? I've said that many times. To edify means to build up. It is to encourage, okay, to lift up, okay, to build upon what's already there. I think of it like putting one brick on top of another brick while you're building the foundation, okay? It is adding to what's already there and building something bigger, stronger, larger, and more solid, right? That is edifying. It is building up. Okay, to exhort is to encourage, but it is to encourage to an action. Okay, to exhort someone is to encourage them to rise up. Okay, encourage them to act, in other words. Okay, the Greek word for exhort actually means to incite through advice. Okay, to incite through advice. Incite got a bad rep in the last 6 months here, that word, but it is to incite through advice. Okay, that is what the Greek word for exhort means. Okay, it implies to urge strongly, okay, or to make an urgent appeal that leads to action. Okay, one example I thought of an exhortation would be a simple one that, let's say there's a fire that starts on this side of the room, and I say, everybody out the back door, go, go, go. Okay, I am encouraging you to action. Okay, and people are just going to jump up and go because of that exhortation. It was spoken to encourage you to do something quickly and right away. It led to an action. Okay. A word of prophecy will edify, exhort, and or comfort, okay, the hearer. Okay, so whether it's you or someone else, a word from someone that stirs up fear in you is probably not a prophetic word from the Lord. Okay, if someone comes up and tells you, hey man, God just said He wants you to move to South Africa next week. Start packing. Okay, and right away your mind is like, oh my, there's no way. I haven't even considered. God has never spoken to me about going to Africa. And it doesn't make sense, but it strikes a fear in you. It's probably not a word from the Lord. Okay, and people have given me, I kid you not, stranger words than that. Okay, and thought this is God's word for you. You have to be able to discern that. That comes later, I'll tell you about. Prophecy builds up, okay, it strengthens, it encourages, it consoles, it comforts, and it confirms. Okay, now that last word, confirms, is very important. Okay, that is a very prominent part of prophecy. Again, I'm going to call it Christianese. I got a confirmation from the Lord. Okay, that means that I got confirmation. I got something confirmed. Okay, it means that I already had it rolling around inside of me, and somebody walks up and says, Gary, you're supposed to move to Wyoming and start a church. Okay, and it confirms something that was already in my heart, God had already spoken to me about. Okay, what you need, an important part of prophecy is that it is not meant to guide your decisions, but it is meant to confirm what you already know in your heart. So someone that comes up and tells you to move to Africa when that has never been, you know, God has never been speaking to you about that, that is not confirming something. And if I jumped on that, I would be allowing that prophecy to help me make a decision or to make a decision for me that, I didn't know I was supposed to go to Africa. I'm going to go. Okay, but that's not what prophecy is. Prophecy from someone, when they speak into your life, and a lot of times they don't say, thus saith the Lord, you're supposed to do this. They just speak into your life and it confirms something. Okay, that is exactly what it's supposed to do. It's like, oh, yeah, I already knew that. God's been speaking to me about that for a long time. And it confirms something that you knew inside. Okay, now, some of you haven't been in on this whole series on the Holy Spirit. Okay, so you might be wondering, how in the world did you get to the point of talking about prophecy? Okay, so let me back up just a minute to show you a little scriptural basis for prophecy being evidence of the Holy Spirit of God working in your life. Okay, how is that supposed to be happening? In Acts chapter 2, let me get to some scripture. Acts chapter 2, verse 17. He said, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that I will pour out of my Holy Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Holy Spirit, and they shall prophesy. Okay, so now is that time for dreams and visions and prophecy to be actively engaged in by the believers. Okay, it is this era, this time that we live in right now. Now, prophecy is derived from a group of Greek words that mean things like speaking, proclaiming, or announcing something under the influence of spiritual inspiration. Okay, the Holy Spirit prompts and a word comes forth. Okay, prophecy is included in the list of the spiritual gifts that was given by the Holy Spirit to Christians for the edification and the benefit of the church. Okay, God wants to build His church. Okay, we look at the world sometimes right now and we think, man, it seems like the world is magnifying and dominating and pushing the church out of existence. God has things in place through His gifts of the Holy Spirit, through His gifts to the church, the pastor, prophet, evangelist, teacher, and apostle, through these kinds of things to build His church, to see it magnified and glorified on earth. Okay, and these gifts are part of that. It was God's Holy Spirit that He gave to Christians for the edification and the benefit of Christianity. Okay, let's read some of these gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I'll start with verse 4. It says, "Now there are diversities or many kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit," capital S, the same Holy Spirit. "And there are differences of administrations," or you could say ministries, "but it's the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all." Here to profit from. Okay, 1 Corinthians 12, 8, the next verse, it says, "For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom." Okay, there's one of these revelatory gifts. Okay, "To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally or individually as He so wills." Okay, now some people have tried to even twist this last verse a little bit and make it sound like the Holy Spirit doesn't give all these gifts to all people, but He only gives it to certain ones, individually as He will. Okay, well, let's just take one like discerning of spirits, for example. Okay, does God only want me to have the gift of discerning of spirits, or would He want everybody to be able to understand what's happening around them? Okay, of course, He wants us all to understand. Okay, the King James Version of the Bible uses the expression "certain man," okay, when Jesus is giving parables or Old Testament prophets are speaking. They said, "Now a certain man," and it goes on and it gives a description. That comes into play over 30 times in a King James Bible. The expression "certain," okay, particular, "certain," is in there over 200 times. Okay, here the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, says that the Holy Spirit is given to every man, or that He gives to every man as He wills. Okay, He didn't say that the Holy Spirit gives to certain men this gift and to certain men this gift. He did not say that. He said that it is the Holy Spirit gives to every man as He so wills. Okay, He does not pick out certain men or women and give them the gift of prophecy, but somebody else the gift of this and somebody else the gift of that. That has been mistaught for centuries, probably, on that verse. Okay, did you receive a different Holy Spirit than I did? Okay, who got a different Holy Spirit? Who got the upgraded version? Anybody? Okay, no, we all got the same Holy Spirit. That's why it says, "by the same Spirit," over and over again in that passage. To one is given this by the same Spirit. To another is given this by the same Spirit, capital S. He's saying you all got the same Spirit. You all got what is in these verses. You all got the same thing that I did. Okay, we received the exact same Spirit. Verse 7 that we read said, "The manifestation of the Spirit is given to all men, every man, to profit from." Okay, that's what God did. He gave us the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "I'm going unto my Father. I'm going to send unto you another Comforter. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit." We all got the same one. Okay, and so when these verses, we see these things, we have to know that it's speaking to all of us. None of us would walk around thinking, "Well, I got a different Jesus than they did, and that's why I'm saved." Okay, we wouldn't think that. We got the same Jesus. We got the same Holy Spirit. We got the same God. Okay, that's the way that works. Okay, 1 Corinthians 12:7, we read it in the King James. I want to read it out in the Amplified. It says, to each one, okay, not to certain ones, but to each one is given the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, the evidence, the spiritual illumination of the Spirit for good and for profit. Okay, God gave you the Holy Spirit so you can flourish. Okay, this is part of His plan. The Holy Spirit makes such a profound impact on the life of a believer that if you're not utilizing, not engaging in, not depending on the Holy Spirit in your walk with God, you're missing out. I'll just tell you, there's no way around it. Okay, we are to walk in love, and we are to earnestly desire and seek to cultivate the spiritual gifts or the gifts of the Holy Spirit in our life, especially, particularly, emphasizing the pursuit of prophecy. Okay, we read this before, 1 Corinthians 14:11. Says, follow after charity or love and desire spiritual gifts, okay, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but rather or even more that you may prophesy. So how many of you, I would ask, desire to prophesy? No. Okay, let me ask that again. We just read, this is not my opinion. Follow after charity, desire spiritual gifts, and especially that you may prophesy. So how many of you, by the command of the Word of God, not Gary Gilbert, how many of you desire to prophesy? Okay, a few more are getting it. This isn't my opinion. Okay, this is what the Word of God says. This is one of the most spiritual men to ever walk on the planet next to Jesus, the Apostle Paul writing this. And he says, guys, follow after love. You got to have love. He just had a whole chapter on that. Okay, follow after love and desire the spiritual gifts, and especially that you may prophesy. Because God wants to use you. God wants to flow through your life and do something for the rest of the body. God wants to encourage you. Remember, comfort, edify, and exhort. God wants to do that through the body of Christ. And this is part of where that comes from. Okay, when you desire and pursue to see the gifts of the Holy Spirit manifesting in your life, you're going to walk in the supernatural. Okay, and by that, I'm not talking about being able to fly across the parking lot. Okay, I'm not talking about being able to pick up a 10-ton truck that's sitting on somebody's foot. Okay, by that, I mean that through these revelatory gifts, through the revelation gifts, you are going to know things that are not humanly possible. There is no way for you to have known it, and you know it. That is the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's part of prophecy, but it is also these other gifts, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and that discerning of spirits. Imagine the way that your life can profit, knowing things that you were not otherwise able to know. Okay, a problem comes up and you instantly know what the solution is. Everybody's struggling. Oh my God, what are we going to do? And you're like, well, we just need to do this. Instantly knew the answer. Okay, or what if a new person comes into your life? And the Spirit reveals things to you about that person that you had no way of knowing, and it alters your relationship with them and saves you, spares you years of grief and frustration because of that one little click of the Holy Spirit saying, hey, don't do that. When you increase your sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, when the Lord wants to speak through you, it's going to burn down inside of you. Okay, you're going to get a knowing inside. You're going to sense the Holy Spirit's anointing. You're going to sense His prompting to speak out something. Okay, it comes out as an inspired utterance. Okay, it's not something you make up. Okay, I know people that have done this, that's why I'm going to make fun of it. But it's not about sitting during worship thinking, well, let's see, when worship's done, I'm going to say this and then I'll say that. There's none of that. It is a prompting. It is an anointing that comes on you that God wants this to be said to the body of Christ. God wants me to go up to so-and-so during the break and tell them such and such. God wants me to catch somebody in a parking lot and tell them, hey, brother, I don't know what you're going through, but God says, don't sell that car. You know, whatever it is, and you feel that prompting. It's something that's inside of it. You just can't seem to get away from it. You didn't think it up. I need to go tell them not to sell that car. That's a dumb idea. You don't think that. You get a prompting, a burning inside, an anointing that says, I should go share this. And you follow through and you do that. It comes out as an inspired utterance. Okay, it comes by the Spirit of God. Okay, it is given by God for your benefit and the benefit of somebody else. Okay, it's going to stir on the inside. But here's the catch. It is only going to come out when you are both willing and obedient. Okay, there's pretty good scriptures in the Bible that talk about being willing and obedient. Some people are obedient to God in the sense that they will do whatever God asks them to do within reason. Right? They'll do whatever God wants them to, I'll do whatever God wants them to do except that. Okay? They put a limit in there. Okay? They set limits on what they will do or not do. Okay? Now, I haven't even been touched this morning on the spiritual gifts of speaking in tongues or interpretation of tongues. And I know that many Christians will set a limit on those gifts, saying, oh no, those are gifts for someone else. That's why they like to interpret that as there's only certain gifts to certain people. They like to interpret it that those gifts are for someone else. I won't ever speak in tongues. Okay? Check, check. Are we back? All right. Everybody say, Pastor Gary, you should have listened to the prompting of the Holy Spirit before the service and changed your batteries. Okay, because I knew that. It's been just long enough. It was time to change. And I even had the batteries in my hand this morning because I wanted to make sure I had some under the pulpit in case. Okay, but Holy was telling me beforehand. Let's try this. Okay, so we're talking about being willing and obedient. Okay, the only ability that you need to do to be used by God is availability, right? That's pretty simple to remember. Okay, making yourself available to God. Okay, He will speak through you even with something as scary as a word of prophecy for somebody. You're going to speak it to a person, to a body, whatever it is. Okay, that means that you need to be willing and obedient. Okay, you might feel awkward. Okay, who thinks, I just want to give a prophecy to you? See how it feels. You're going to feel awkward. Okay, people do. I see the look. When I say you could speak it out to the body, people are like, not me. Okay, you will feel awkward. I'm just telling you. Okay, there are people called to the office of a prophet and they may not But the gift of prophecy that comes through all believers, we don't do it every day. We don't do it all the time. It's something you got to wait on the Holy Spirit to prompt you to even do it. So when it comes out, sometimes it feels awkward. Okay? You might hear things that come out of your mouth that sounds kind of different than what you thought it should. Okay, it just didn't quite make sense, or you didn't word it the way you thought you should. You might even follow a prompting that wasn't God and speak something that wasn't what God wanted to say. It happens. Okay, that's okay. You know why? Because you are still walking by faith, believing that God wants to speak through you, that God is speaking to you to speak to other people, and on occasion you're going to make mistakes. Okay, the greatest of the greats in the body of Christ that I've ever known have admitted that. They have not gotten it right every time. Okay, they have said things that they later, the Lord spoke to them and really told them what they were supposed to have said or whatever it is. Okay, your faith in God and your willingness to be used by Him will lead to just that. At some point, God will use you. He will flow through you, okay, and speak through you. Okay, other gifts I need to get on here. Other gifts of the Spirit that He imparts into your life upon your willingness are the word of wisdom, okay, the word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits. Okay, these are invaluable, okay, for the believer. So much trouble could be avoided by receiving and actively using these gifts, by listening for what the Holy Spirit wants to reveal to you. Christians who don't walk in the supernatural gifts are not going to know what hit them in the last days. Okay, we've been studying the book of Revelation. I kid you not, everything in there we've read so far has to be spiritually discerned. The natural mind cannot get around some of these things. The natural mind can't comprehend a horse with the face of a man and the teeth of a lion. Okay, it just, the natural mind can't get around these things. You have to discern it spiritually. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 through 14, says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, okay, but we received the Spirit of God, so that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things." Okay, but the natural man, the one void of the Holy Spirit, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. They won't make sense. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Okay, the gift of the word of wisdom. Okay, a simple definition is that it is a divine revelation from God that tells or shows you what is going to take place in the future. A word of wisdom that God speaks to you is about the future. It is something that is yet to come. Okay, something dealing with things that haven't happened yet. A pastor from Florida that I like, his name is Rodney Howard Brown. He put it this way. He said, "If you hook up with the known will of God, the Word of God, your Bible, and you begin to seek the unknown will of God for your life, God will begin to impart it into you by the Holy Spirit of God. You'll be able to see what is going to happen 1 year, 2 years, even 3 years in the future." Okay? Now, a lot of people think prophecy is about future. It's prophesying future events. It can, and it sometimes does. A word of wisdom always speaks about future events. It is a knowing inside about something that hasn't happened yet, and you say, da-da-da-da-da. Okay, this is going to happen. This is the way it's going to come down. Okay, that is a word of wisdom. God is going to help you to know things beforehand by giving you inside information. Okay, it is like a completely legal and moral form of insider trading. Okay, you get to know ahead of time. Okay, some guys just got in trouble for that not too long ago, right? Insider trading and knowing stuff they weren't supposed to know. Okay, you can know things that God wants you to know, and it's a very legal, moral, ethical way to get a prompting inside, and you know something that is yet to come. Okay, God knows what is going to come. God knows the future. Okay, and I want to know what God knows. Okay, I want to know that. How much trouble could that save me if I just knew what was going to happen next year? Okay, He is very willing to show it to you through His Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus said, I'm going to send you another one. I'm going to send you the Comforter. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. He will teach you all things. Okay, He knows the things of God. Okay, now that's a word of wisdom. The spiritual gift of a word of knowledge is a little different than a word of wisdom. Okay, a word of knowledge is a divine revelation from God that tells or shows us something that is happening right now, or even something that has already happened. Okay, word of wisdom, about the future. A word of knowledge is about a current event. It's about a current situation in a person's life. It's about something happening right now, or maybe we just went through something. And all of a sudden, it makes sense. All of a sudden, it's like, now I know why I went through that. Or somebody else's life. I know why you just went through what you went through. And you give them a word of knowledge. You share with them because it will help them. How many people are struggling today? Why is this happening to me? Why did I go through this? Why is this happening to my life? And what if you could walk up to them and say, hey, God said, you went through this because da 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 da. And you explained it to them in a way that made sense. Okay? Now that is a word of knowledge. Okay, with the word of knowledge, God is going to show you things about people and about things going on in their lives, not so that you can put them down, okay, not so that you can discourage them, not so you can point it out and break them down, tear down their life a little bit. God will show you things through a word of knowledge so that you can help them. Okay? Remember the woman that came to the well where Jesus was, and Jesus had a conversation with her. It's in John chapter 4, starting in verse 15. It says, the woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water. They're standing at the well. He had just told her he has water that would cause her to thirst no more. Okay, so she says, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw any more. And Jesus said unto her, go and call thy husband and come hither. And the woman answers and said, I have no husband. And Jesus says unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thine husband. Okay? In that thou saidest truly. And the woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Okay, Jesus gave her, told her a word of knowledge. He knew something about her current situation, and he knew about her past. And through it, through sharing with her, she came to salvation through him. Because now I perceive that you're a prophet. You are the Son of God. You're the one that we've been waiting for. Okay, the Holy Spirit will give me words of knowledge frequently. Okay, this is probably one of the most common things that happens in my life, spiritual gift-wise. Because it helps me to know how to pray for people. Okay, when I see someone and I instantly know that they're having difficulty in their marriage, or I instantly know that an old habit has come back into somebody's life, or I know that something at work is stressing somebody out, they're not able to sleep, I don't look at their eyes to see if they got bags. I look at the Spirit and I say, Lord, you show me what's going on, because I can tell there's something. And the Lord will begin to speak it. Okay, when I see that, then I know what to say to them to encourage them. I know what to pray about when I'm praying in my prayer time at home and or wherever, driving down the street or shower or wherever it is, I'm praying for that person. Because now I know by a prompting of the Spirit of God. Okay, they didn't tell me, hey, brother, I'm having trouble with this. Can you pray for me? I already knew. Okay, because of what the Holy Spirit has shown through a word of knowledge. That's where a word of knowledge is very, very profitable for the Christian believer. You see how we can help one another? Okay, yes, we still share with each other that, hey, man, I'm going through this. Can you pray for me? But there's so many unspoken prayer requests. And that's where the words of knowledge come in. You get it inside. You understand. I don't know what it is, but I'm going to pray for so-and-so this week. Okay, and God will tell you specifically, pray for them for their finances, or pray for them for this or for that, and you will know because the Spirit has spoken to you. Okay, now lastly this morning, I need to close this up. I want to talk about the revelation gift of discernment of spirits. Okay, discernment of spirits is critical in my walk with God. Okay, I think it should be critical in your walk with God. God gave you this gift through the Holy Spirit to save you so much trouble. The things of God are spiritually discerned. Okay, we read that verse a few minutes ago. But guess what? So are the things of the devil. They are spiritually discerned. When you see something, you hear something, the Lord begins to speak to your spirit about which side of the aisle they're on, right? Whether it's of God or not. Okay, you begin to hear that. Okay, imagine if you could see what the devil was up to. Okay, imagine if, you know, he's trying to mislead you. He's trying to deceive you into making a big mistake. That if you just made one decision right now, it would save you all this grief and trouble. Okay, that's what you can have through the Holy Spirit. Okay, discernment of spirits is a spiritual gift that has been given to all of us. God wants us to know and to be able to see good and evil. Okay, I have a little definition I put up on the screen for you on discernment of spirits, because it has three different parts to it. Discernment of spirits is a divine ability to see or discern in three different ways. It will help you to know when the Holy Spirit is moving in your life. Remember, we see, we recognize, we acknowledge, it builds our faith and confidence in Holy Spirit. Okay, number two, the presence of demons or angels. Now you can recognize that through the gift of discernment of spirits. You see what is at work. And then number three is false doctrine, false prophets, and actually being able to look into the hearts of men and see a lie. Okay? Discernment of spirits is how you know what the Holy Spirit is up to. It's how you get that knowing in your knower, like I like to put it. Right? That knowing inside that you know what to do next. It's how you know that something is of God, and it's how you can tell when it's not. Okay, you may get a great job offer. You might get somebody that offers you something that on the surface it seems like a great blessing, and you're so tempted just to jump in and, oh yeah, thanks, huge blessing. But in the end, it's going to be a huge mess. It is going to bring more trouble than it did blessing. Okay, you would be so much better off if you turned down their offer. Okay, discernment of spirits is how you're going to know that. It is that, what spirit is behind this that is coming at me? Okay, because even the devil can transform himself into an angel of light, right? Sometimes it looks great on the surface, but it's not necessarily so. You're going to be able to see into the hearts of men and women. Okay, you're going to instantly be able to see what is motivating someone. Okay, what is behind their offer or their actions? Okay, oftentimes I can see a spirit of rebellion, or I can see a spirit of religion. Okay, those are common. A spirit of division. Okay, a spirit of lust, a spirit of pride, whatever it is. Okay, the Holy Spirit then lets me know how to respond. Okay, I don't judge that person. I got my own problems, right? Okay, but when God speaks to me something about, oh, that's coming from, that's a divisive spirit that is operating there. Okay, it helps me to know how to respond. The discerning of spirits is what gives you that check in your spirit when something is wrong. Okay, sometimes you meet somebody and it's like, phew, there's something about this person. Okay, I think my dog actually has a great sense of that. I don't know, she seems to be able to pick up on people really good, but I think there's a spiritual component to that with animals. But what you don't want to do is to mistake a check in your spirit for God saying, wait a minute, you need to avoid this person, or you need to interact with them in this particular way. Don't confuse that with just kind of personality stuff. Because sometimes we just don't like people. Okay, I don't like the way they act, you know, whatever. And that's different than a check in your spirit about something God is saying to go a different direction. Okay, some people just don't click with certain people as much. Okay, that's not the same as a check in your spirit by the Holy Spirit. Okay, it's just more of a personality conflict. You know, the last benefit This might break a record for the longest sermon I've done in a while, so bear with me. Almost done. The last benefit I want to share with you regarding discerning of spirits is that it is what keeps you from false doctrine, false teaching from guys like me. Okay, it is when somebody gives you a word, that discerning of spirits is what's going to give you that check in your spirit so you will know that that's not from God. Okay, it is a warning system that God put into the body of Christ so that when things being taught to you or a word that is given to you is not from God, that you will get a check in your spirit. It's different than just feeling uncomfortable. Okay, sometimes pastors preach stuff and it's kind of convicting. That's not discernment of spirits. Okay, when I talk about like speaking in tongues, some people instantly feel anxious. Okay, but that's not discerning of spirits. That's more of a fear of the unknown or fear of resistance to the supernatural. Through discernment, you're going to know when somebody is lying to you. Okay, not because you catch them in the act, not because they say something or that you see something. It's like, oh yeah, they said they didn't have any money. Look at that wallet. It's got all kinds. You're not catching them in a lie that way. You know without seeing any evidence that wasn't true. Okay, happens all the time. God will show you what is true and what is not. Okay, and that's very important when it comes to prophecy, because not everybody that speaks a word to you is speaking the truth or speaking on behalf of God. Okay, I heard a story about an evangelist that would go to different churches and he would sit up front during the worship and kind of the preliminary stuff of the service. The pastor would get up and do the introduction and all that. And the whole time he'd be sitting up in a chair and he would just stare at people in the congregation. He would move from one to another. No smiling, no interacting, no, you know, like I'm trying to be a nice guy, just glaring at people. And then he would move to another and glare at them. Okay. And it came to pass that when it was his turn to get up and speak, that he would start spewing out stuff about these people that was totally not true. And one of them, the pastor's wife was on the stage and he was glaring at her for a while. And he gets up and he says, "Thus saith the Lord, you have a kidney that is about to explode." And she instantly said, "No, I don't." And he said, "No, you don't think so. You don't know about it. I know about it. And thus saith the Lord, it is going to happen." Well, she didn't have anything wrong with her kidney. She knew instantly when he said it that, "No, I don't. That's not true." There was another guy in the service, one of the services, that the guy calls him out and he says, "You, thus saith the Lord, that your marriage is in trouble. It is almost completely crumbled, and if you'll do this and this, you can get it back on track." The guy and his wife were one of the happiest couples in the entire church. Okay, they were the most secure. They had been together. They loved each other. There was nothing wrong with their marriage. And yet the guy is speaking into them all this stuff that simply wasn't true. We had it. Margie and I did at some people's house. We went to pastors and they wanted to pray and they began speaking words over us. And so it was like, no, you missed that one, because it just wasn't true. Okay. You have to be able to recognize that. Okay. You have to be able to see what's happening. Now, in that situation, that guy, I'll just finish that story, but he was exposed for being a flake, okay? He was just flaky. That's all. He wanted the attention and all the things and tried to be right. But he was called out eventually. Some of the people actually got up out of the service and left, okay, and would not return until that man was gone, okay? Wait till he moves on to a different town or somebody corrects him or whatever, but we're not going back to sit under that, because they knew instantly this guy was not speaking by the voice of God. Okay, now what happens in a situation like that is that the immature Christians will sit there on the edge of their seat, taking in every word this guy says. That discernment of spirits is something that has to be exercised. Okay, like your muscles. It's got to be built so that you can learn to discern spirits. You can see what's happening. The more mature people in the body of Christ were probably the ones that left. Said, "Sorry, man, I'm just not going to sit under that. I'll come back when this guy's gone." Hebrews 5:14 says that strong meat belongs to them that are of full age. Okay, even those who have, by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Okay, what that means is that the deeper, more powerful, more spiritual things are going to be recognized by those who have matured in the faith. Okay, they have exercised their spiritual discernment, and they're better able to recognize the good versus evil. That's what the body of Christ is for. Some people around you are not as mature as you are. You need to help them. So when they're sitting and zoning in, watching some preacher day after day that, oh man, this guy's the greatest preacher ever, and you know that there's something, God has said there's something this guy teaches over and over again that is not right, it's up to you, body of Christ, to help one another, okay, to step in and say, yo, brother, why don't you come over and we'll watch something over at my house today. Okay, whatever it is, you help them. You help those that are less mature in the faith than you are. Okay, now you might be younger in your walk with God. I want to end with this. You might not be focused on the spiritual gifts. Okay, you're not thinking, oh man, I just want to walk and be able to speak prophecy and get those words and analogy talking about. Your goal might be, I just want to bring my body under subjection. I want to renew my mind with the Word of God so that my life glorifies God more. Okay, you might be at that point in your life. Okay, you might not be as focused on, you know, I want to be able to used by God to speak out some of these things. But you need to know when it comes to the revelatory gifts, these revelation gifts, they are available. They are there for you. Some people around you are already walking in quite a few of these things, and they can help you. Okay, so seek, desire earnestly the spiritual gifts. Okay, so as you're going through life, now you know there's at least three or four that I've talked about that are out there that they would help you, keep you out of trouble, spare you grief, okay, make your life better. Okay, like the King James Version said, they will profit you. Okay, they're going to benefit you and help you. Okay, so never quit seeking, never quit desiring the manifestation of the Spirit of God in your life. Because when you're walking in the Spirit, life just gets better and better. Okay? Praise God. Father, I thank you this morning for your word. I thank you for speaking into our hearts, Lord. I hope that you penetrate hearts, Lord. Help people to grow in faith. Help them to grow in understanding, to be able to walk out different than when they came in, Lord, by your Spirit, leading and guiding them. I pray for that sensitivity, that each of us is more sensitive now than we were before, that we'll listen and we'll hear what you have to say to us. Lord, keep us on the right track. Keep us from trouble. Keep us on your path and show us who you are and what you want us to be doing. And we know you have empowered us to do exactly that. Father, we praise you for these things. In Jesus' name we say, amen. Amen and amen.